right now, all of that takes a backseat to my next guest, who is an MLB, Major League Baseball analyst extraordinaire, a writer, an insider. He's one of the absolute best in the business. It's always an honor and a privilege to have him on any platform that I'm a part of. It's the one and only Jeff Passan right here with Stephen A. What's going on, Jeff? How are you, man? How's everything?
I'm better now. Hey, just keep talking about me, please. That was really nice. I appreciate
that. You deserve it, my brother. You deserve it. Jeff, listen, we've seen a lot. We've heard a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports throughout the years. This is certainly up there as one of the more bizarre stories going on. The Players Association Executive Director of Major League Baseball Players Union, Mr. Tony Clark, abruptly resigned after it was learned he was having an inappropriate relationship with the sister-in-law. What can you tell our audience about exactly what has transpired with this story, sir?
Stephen A., all of this went down because there's a federal investigation into the Major League Baseball Players Association right now. And look, when a federal investigation gets opened up, the players are going to get a little bit wary and they want to protect their union, right? So they hired a lawyer to make sure that they are informed and, you know, separation of church and state, really. And in the course of the investigation by that lawyer that the MLBPA hired on the players' behalf, it was found that he was Tony Clark, who had been at the union for more than 12 years as the executive director, was having an inappropriate relationship, as you said, with his sister-in-law, who happened to work for the MLBPA and was running its Arizona office. And look, when there's federal inquiries into your union, when there are questions about money being spent and perhaps appropriated in inappropriate fashion, that's going to get the players' ears. And through the course of that, it turns out there was something that took him past that red line. You know, a lot of guys thought that because of this and because the collective bargaining agreement, Stephen A., is expiring on December 1st, the union needs to be strong right now. It needs to have strong leadership, and any cracks in that arm are not going to go over well. And this just happened to be the thing, I think, that pushed everyone to the point where they knew that his tenure was untenable going forward.
Let's go into some details because, damn it, this is what America is. We know we like the details, all right? The sister-in-law. Is she the sister of his wife? Is she the sister of I'm sorry, is she the wife of his brother? Who exactly is the sister-in-law? I'm not talking about her name. I'm talking about it's the wife's sister. I mean, who is it?
I have taken pains not to put that out there. I know that's the question everyone wants answered. It's a fair question to ask. I don't know that it's my place necessarily to get into family business.
Okay. All right.
Either way, it's not great. And
it's not great.
For you, Stephen A., Stephen A., on this program, you answer questions of great import, right? You answer the questions that America wants to know the answers to. They want your opinion on it. So my question to you as I filibuster around not answering your question is this: which is worse?
To me, it would be worse if you were messing around with your brother's wife. That's your brother. And I mean, that kind of betrayal. First of all, betrayal is not good, period. Okay? You marry, you make those vows, you try to honor them. But we know we live in a world where, unfortunately, much to our chagrin, there's plenty of people who don't honor their marital vows. I'm not married, so I'm certainly not speaking about myself. But the point is, I know a lot of people that don't, you know, unfortunately, I know people who honor their marital vows, and I know people who have not honored their marital vows. And they got to live with that in their own way. My only point is that, again, if it's your wife's sister or if it's your brother's wife, both are very, very, very egregious, no doubt about it. But if it's your brother's woman, wow, it doesn't really get much lower than that.
Fair. And listen, my text messages have been overwhelmed over the last few, you know, last 24 hours with this very question. And the argument on the other side is, if we're looking at this from the victim's perspective, the person who is harmed most by this, you're looking at your wife in that situation, right?
Yes.
And to the wife, is it worse? that it's her sister potentially. I don't know. I don't know what the answer to the question is. I think you put it well. It's bad regardless of what it is.
Well, let me ask you this. And I'm going to ask you one more time before I get on to additional questions. I just want to make sure that I'm doing my job for my audience. So you're not going to tell us whether it's your brother's wife or it's your wife's sister. I want to make sure that I'm on the record. I asked, and Jeff Passer said he's not going to answer, which is the first time I've ever heard you say that in your career. I just want to make sure, is that your position?
I believe some other reporter has put it out there, so you could probably go find it. But when it comes to stories that are salacious, Stephen A., I try to look at the human beings involved, and this is not a matter of protecting the innocent per se, because the parties that were involved in the actual deeds themselves were not thinking about anybody but themselves. But there are innocent people involved in this, and
That's
so
fair.
it. Listen, it was bad enough to put that out there, because trust me, man. Like when I'm typing up that tweet, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, does this say what it really says? Am I really going to be sending this out into the world? And I don't, I'm not a hot take guy. I'm not going in and trying to set the internet on fire or
Jeff,
anything, but
let me
you knew
say
this one
this.
was going to.
Let me say this to you. If I was reporting on the story, I wouldn't either. Like if I had the information and nobody else had it, I would have kept those details to myself. I wouldn't have reported that. Let me be very, very clear. But
You
once it's out,
wouldn't, I was going to say, would you have reported any of it or just
No.
the who?
I would have reported the
Okay.
part about an inappropriate relationship,
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I
yeah,
wouldn't
yeah.
have
Okay.
gotten into the details. I would have said it was an MLB employee. You see what I'm saying? MLBPA employee. But I would not have put those other details out. Me personally, I would not have done it. But once it's out, I wouldn't be shy about reiterating, yo, this is what's out there because now everybody knows. Let me move on. Do we know whether the person was hired after the relationship was taking place, or is it something that was going on before the person was hired by the MLBPA? Do we know that detail?
No, that is unclear at this point. She was hired in 2023 upon the opening of the MLBPA's office in Phoenix. And there was a whistleblower complaint, Stephen A., that was filed with the National Labor Relations Board back in November 2024. It was the start of this whole federal investigation. It was an anonymous complaint, and it talked about a number of things, whether it was self-dealing, or inappropriate appropriation of money, or nepotism as well. And that's the part of this, I think, that's frustrating to baseball players. Their union is there to support them, and anything that's done inside of the MLBPA that leads to ill repute or otherwise is not looking at the mission. The mission is to support the players. It's to do the very best you can to get the very best deals, to allow them to get as much of the money that owners make as they possibly can. And anything that gets in the way of that becomes problematic. And that's where the union found itself. And it's scrambling right now because, Stephen A., I mentioned this earlier, the collective bargaining agreement's expiring December 1st. The expectation is that there is going to be a lockout by Major League Baseball owners, and that we're going to find ourselves in the same position that we did back in 2022, when it lasted for 99 days and was up on the precipice of the season starting before they finally struck a deal. But this one feels more like 1994, which is the last time owners really pushed hard for a salary cap. And that year, players struck and missed the World Series. And I just hope that the people who are involved in this right now don't make the same mistakes that they did 30 years ago, because what that did to baseball lasted for years. And the only thing that saved baseball was Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa.
Absolutely. And I think that if a strike or a lockout were to happen right now and games ultimately was missed, or God forbid, a season was canceled, I don't think baseball would ever recover because you didn't have streaming and all of these different options all over the place back in 1994 and beyond the way you have it today. There's a lot of things people can do to entertain themselves if they're agitated by the product that you've deprived them of. And I think that that's something that Major League Baseball, the players and the owners, need to be mindful of. What kind of real damage, however, Jeff, has Tony Clark's transgression per se, brought to this equation? Isn't it fair to assume that you could get somebody else to lead the negotiations other than him relatively quickly? Shouldn't you be able to pull that off considering how strong the players' union with Major League Baseball has been considered to be for decades?
Yeah, it's a totally fair question. I think it's one that the players are asking themselves right now. Do we go with the path of least resistance and promote Bruce Meyer, who is the chief negotiator and the deputy executive director and has institutional knowledge at the MLBPA and understands all of the people involved? Or do we look at the outside and perhaps go for someone there? I think that they are trending more toward going internally at this point, because one thing we have to remember, Stephen A., when it comes to sports unions, these guys have jobs, and these jobs that they have are demanding, and they take up so much of their bandwidth. And it's not that the players are being derelict in protecting their union necessarily. Mm-hmm. It's just you only have so many hours in a day to devote to things, and your top job, your top priority is not with the MLBPA. It's going out on the field and hitting as many home runs as you can, or pitching 8 shutout innings. Well, and so the balance, I think, there for players is not that we're going to go just with what the easiest answer is. I think Bruce Meyer is likely to be named executive director, but I think it will be on an interim basis. And then the national search would likely commence after this collective bargaining agreement is agreed to.
Educate my listeners, Jeff Passan, as to whether or not you believe the owners have a strong case in insisting upon a salary cap, and if so, why that is. Because people think about the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I think I heard, whether it was Mad Dog Russo or somebody, or JT the Brick actually talking last night, he said, if there's going to be a lockout, if there's going to be games missed, he said, the Dodgers are going to be blamed when a Shohei Ohtani is getting paid $700 million, $70 million a year, and $68 million is being deferred, or whatever the number is. That's problematic because everybody can't do that. Educate our audience as to the likelihood of a lockout, but most importantly, what you think the biggest reason for the lockout will be.
So this gets a little bit complicated here. So hang with me, because it's really interesting, I think, the way that Major League Baseball is approaching this. They want a salary cap. They have always wanted a salary cap. Why they want a salary cap is the real question. Now, the public reason that they want a salary cap is that they're saying it's for competitive balance issues, you know. And here's the thing. I don't disagree with owners that the disparity between the top, where the Dodgers are paying $550 million for players this year, and the bottom, where the Miami Marlins are paying $70 million, and you've got the Pittsburgh Pirates annually down there, the Tampa Bay Rays and the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Cleveland Guardians, the teams that just don't spend every year. That's problematic. I agree with that. I think that gap has gotten too large, and I think it's alienating fans who look at the game and say, can we compete? I'm a Midwest guy, Stephen A. I grew up in Cleveland. I live in Kansas City now. I understand the plight of the small market fan. But here's the thing. The reality is, the reason that owners more than anything want a salary cap is because it will fix costs in players. And when you have fixed costs, your franchise value and the attractiveness to the ultra wealthy people out there who are going to be buying teams goes way up. Major League Baseball franchise values have not gone up commensurate with the NFL, the NBA, even the NHL at this point. And owners are blaming the lack of a salary cap for that. So we have to understand, first and foremost, where are the owners coming from? This is not just a competitive balance thing. This is our investment isn't doing as well as we'd like. Because if it was just a competitive balance thing, Stephen A., there are other solutions. And that's where whoever takes over at the MLBPA needs to understand that in order to have baseball on the field in 2027, when the lockout does happen and we're barreling toward mid-March and there's no deal in place, there has to be creativity. There has to be long-term thinking. There has to be pulling of levers that you might not have dreamt of otherwise, because to get owners off of this salary cap train that they're on, and they are fully on board right now, you're going to have to bring something compelling to them that shows, hey, competitive balance can be better without these restrictions that you want.
I remember when I saw the news, and I'll let you get out of here in a minute, and thanks so much for your time, Jeff Passan, MLB Insider, senior writer, reporter extraordinaire, right here for ESPN, right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Jeff, I remember when I read reports about Bryce Harper getting in Commissioner Rob Manfred's face and basically trying to throw him out of the clubhouse. I don't know how true that story was, but I've heard enough
It was
people
true.
Talk about it. I've heard enough people talk about it where, and I heard you talk about it, so I know it's true. Which I thought was, I like Bryce Harper. I'm a fan, but that was very disrespectful. You can't do that with the commissioner. But having said that, it sort of gave off the impression that the Players Association as a collective body is just as strong as ever. Yet in some instances, I find myself questioning that and wondering, are they as strong as they were in 1994? Do they have the level of cachet with the American public that they once had as America's national pastime? How do you answer that question in the year 2026, Jeff?
Let's put it this way. The public wants a salary cap. And so the players know that they're going to be fighting against that. And the reason that the public wants a salary cap is because it's familiar. It's what we know. The NFL's done an incredible job of selling the narrative that there is parity in that league due to a salary cap. That it's not just a correlated thing, but that it's actively causative. And that's the reason they have their parity. I don't think there's truth to that, but you know, nuance, it's not something that the American public is really in, like seeking out these days. And so the strength of the MLBPA, I think we're going to see it. They can talk about solidarity all they want, but at the end of the day, there's an issue at the MLBPA, right? And that issue is that the vast majority of players not making a whole lot of money compared to their top end peers. You've got a middle class that has eroded over the last, you know, decade or so. And it gets back to those levers I was talking about, man. Like there need to be things in place, allow a middle class in baseball to thrive and that get younger players paid more. And the MLBPA, I think, did a really good job in the last collective bargaining agreement saying, you know, we want a bonus pool for these players who haven't reached arbitration yet and are making near the minimum salary. So if you perform, you get paid earlier on. And that kind of creativity, that's what's going to take us into 2027 to make sure baseball's on the field.
Very, very last question. Do you believe today's modern day MLB player and its union has the intestinal resolve to risk missing an entire season to make their points?
I don't know, but I hope the answer is no. Hope, and I hope that because I hope we're not at a point where that's what everyone's facing, because that is a doomsday scenario. And regardless of your thought on a salary cap or otherwise, I think everyone can agree getting the game on the field is the most important thing. And that's what they should be thinking about first and foremost.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB analyst right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for coming in on such short notice. Really appreciate it. Thank you, my man.
As always, my friend. Have a great rest of the show.
You do the same, buddy. You do the same. One and only Jeff Passan, one of the best in the business. Make no mistake about it. Right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. That's why I called him, because I knew I wanted to know the answer. And I got to respect the fact that you want to answer that question. I mean, major props to him. Because if it were me and I was reporting on it, see, here's the thing. If I was reporting on it and nobody knew, I wouldn't have told that information about the sister-in-law. But once it's out by somebody else, then I'm saying something.